As the official healthcare provider of Minnesota United, Allina Health is focused on keeping our loons in top condition. And with expertise in orthopedics, sports medicine, heart care, and more, Allina has the team to keep your family in the game too. The experts at Allina Health take the time to get to know you as a whole person, helping you achieve wellness for your mind, body, and spirit. It's an altogether better kind of healthcare. Learn more at AlinaHealth.org.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Sound of the Loons. A very special episode as I get to welcome new head coach Eric Ramsey, who gets to join me today after a long day of media availability. First and foremost, thank you so much for taking the time.
Mate, it's a pleasure. I said off camera, I've obviously done my research for this job partly through this podcast, so I feel privileged to be here.
Awesome. Well, I got to come to your training session yesterday. I just want to start off with that. I know you've not been in town for a very long time, but your first time on the grass with the guys, how excited were you? Was there some nervousness, like a good positive energy excitement? Like, what was that like to finally get out there?
Definitely that. I think I could have taken probably a slower lead into working with the group, but I wanted to get stuck in quickly. I think the best way to get a feel for the group and the players and how the collaboration will be between me and the staff is to start working. So I wanted to do that yesterday. And I think the group are sort of riding the crest of a really good start to the season. So it's an energetic group. I'm obviously full of energy coming into a new job. So hopefully that was transmitted in the session yesterday. I think it certainly felt that way from my perspective. So I think we're off to a good start.
I know we're going to dive more into why you took this job, why Minnesota United, why Major League Soccer, but I want to kind of take a step back, not just in your career, but just in your life as a whole. And I want to start off first and foremost with family. I'm a big proponent of kind of talking about family and support systems, and I know your wife is here with you today, made the trip over. What has that been like for this decision, for this move, for this opportunity? What's that been like in your family?
Yeah, it's obviously not an easy decision in any way for us to make. My wife and I, we've got two young children now, a two-year-old boy and an eight-month-old girl. But we are sort of in the habit of moving every two or three years because typically that's how it is in football, and that's how my career has been. I've sort of done between two and a half and three and a half years at each of the places that I've been at. So we know what it's like to uproot quickly. Obviously, we haven't done it in such an extreme way as we're doing now, but we are pretty mobile, I would say. My wife takes the brunt here in the sense that she's normally the one that packs up the house and gets us set up on the other side, and I'm sort of straight to work quickly, which has been and will be the case with this one. But we're fortunate that the two of us have been able to spend the last 4 or 5 days together here, and she's got a really good feel for their area and the people and has been welcomed in the way in which I have. She goes back on Thursday and will probably leave feeling really excited to come back here and connect with the people that she's connected with so far. And she'll bring the little ones out with her parents as soon as she can.
I know we were joking about this off camera, but she, you know, maybe a rude awakening when you come back if there happens to be an April blizzard, because it's been absolutely magnificent here. We've had like a non-existent winter. But in general, how do you think your kids are going to adapt? I know they're young, but it still is a change. Do you view these changes every few years as an exciting change opportunity for whether it's the two of you or whether it's with the kids, or how do you sort of view it? You go into it.
Yeah, I was quickly saying on the weather, we really steeled ourselves for the Minnesota snow, and a little bit disappointed that we haven't been able to put ourselves to the test and feel like we're in a false sense of comfort and security. So if it comes, it comes, and we've prepared ourselves for that. We are at a stage, I think, in our and the kids' lives where we can be pretty open-minded to some life experiences and a big upheaval like this, because obviously we're not taking the kids from settled friend groups or they're not 9, 10, 11, and they're really getting into their schooling. They sort of don't know any different than our home and us and our family, little family unit, and that's what exactly what they'll experience here. So I think there's far more upside than downside for us. I think for particularly the two-year-old over the coming years, I think he'll really take a lot from being here. I think he'll probably view himself differently in years to come when he knows he's lived on another continent and experienced another culture, and we'll feel like that as well. So yeah, we see it largely only positively, other than the initial probably shock for my wife of having to uproot and move to the other side of the world.
Where did your love of football come from? Where did your love of soccer come from? And when was the first time you can remember maybe kicking a ball? How did that? I remember talking to Khaled about it when I chatted with him about just where did that passion and that love for the game come from?
I think it's difficult to grow up in the UK and not really feel that to some extent at some point in your life. I think for us, it was early, and it's always been what our lives have spun around. Basically, I've got a brother 2 years younger than me. We've always built everything around football, everything, every decision we've made, every one of our connections, friendship-wise, the way in which we've viewed the paths that our life would take has always had football at the heart of it. So obviously we both grew up wanting to be players, as everyone does. We both played at a relatively good level in the Welsh Premier League in Wales. I played at the best university level in the UK, but both of us very early had our eyes on making sure that if we weren't going to be players, we were going to have an involvement in the game. I really quickly saw myself as a coach very early, say 13, 14, 15. My brother has also coached whilst he's played. He's now a scout for Brighton in the Premier League in England. So really everything about our lives has been shaded by football. And that's the case for a lot of people in England, but I think ours probably to an extreme.
So when you say 13, 14, 15, you already knew that coaching was in your DNA at some point, at some level.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because there's a lot of players who are like, oh no, I'm never coaching. I couldn't do that. But and a lot of coaches that say, well, it's the next best thing to playing. That's how I can get the closest to the game. How did you know? Was that your mentality and style as a player too?
I never really saw it as the next best thing. I think I was really set early on it being the thing for me. I think I've got that strand to my personality, I would say, and I think you would have seen that in my role in the teams that I played with, probably normally a vocal one, a leader, someone that would maybe think about the game more so than a typical player of that age, say. And then from the early opportunities that I had to coach in the locality with young kids from 13, 14, 15, I knew that would be the path that I would likely follow. I think it also coincided with a period where it was becoming much more common for coaches with non-top level playing backgrounds hitting some really high heights as a coach, and the pathway was quite well defined in that it was going to be a more academic route to start with, and then it was going to be working in the youth development setting, which I really enjoyed and had opportunities to do early. So I'm probably one of those sort of career coaches. I've done it for 10 years as a profession. It's all I've known as a profession since university, but even prior to university it was something I was doing alongside playing. I never gave up completely the hope of playing. I played, as I say, up until university at a good level, but then that was sort of where I started to divide my attention a little bit more, so a bit more seriously.
So when you look back at your life in soccer, in your career, whether it's as a player or as a coach in any capacity, was there any one moment that sort of defined how you thought you were going to go about it? Not style of play or philosophy per se, but just like how you viewed yourself as a coach, with the coaching styles so different these days, and how you interact with players, with staff members, top to bottom. Was there any defining moment for you?
I don't think there was a defining moment, but I was lucky. I went to a really prestigious sports university in England called Loughborough, where you had a really strong opportunity to continue playing, but also start to focus on coaching in a very broad sense. So sports science, sports psychology, sports coaching, sports management. So immediately I had a very good grasp for like a pretty integrated approach to coaching that was informed by lots of disciplines. And then I had a chance to go to Swansea City immediately from university, obviously at one of the big two or three Welsh clubs.
What was that like? I mean, just stepping aside quick, I mean, to go from that to that, I mean, what was that like for you?
No,
what
was it that was a dream like? Because you're suddenly doing what you loosely hope to do, and then suddenly you're well, to take a step back, Swansea at that point, it's the best period in their history. They were a top 10 Premier League club. They were working towards Category 1 status in England, which is like a really prestigious level, which means facilities, contact time with players, infrastructure, staff, resources. So it was, I was amazed to have the opportunity to work full-time with players at a really good level, sort of doing everything that I hoped I would do and doing it very quickly. I think at that point in time, I'm sure you would have had a feel for it from here, but Swansea have got a really well-defined way of playing that has been added to and evolved by coaches that have gone on to work at an incredibly high level. So Brendan Rodgers in England, really well-known Premier League coach, top-level Premier League coach, Roberto Martinez, the current Portugal manager, Michael Laudrup, real legend of the game. So all these people have taken a playing style and added to it and evolved it, and I was able to latch onto that as a coach. So it's like a pure possession way of playing, really dominating games with the ball, really high pressing, really proactive. So I had a good opportunity at that point with a couple of other guys in the academy at Swansea to try and grab that and make it into something solid from the perspective of a development model. So how would that translate to developing young players? What are the components of that style that we can work on individually and collectively? How do we turn that into a curriculum? How do we chop it up and work around that every day? So I was just really fortunate that I had a nice start at Loughborough, and then I was able to take that into a club that was like ripe for people to latch onto a playing style and take it forward.
Was there any moment when you walked into that, like the first day you walk into Swansea and you're like, was there like a, I mean, what kind of energy was that?
I remember going to look at the facility the night before the day that I was going to start, and it's a nice moment because you know you're going to start there the next day. It's a brand new facility. It's really impressive.
But is it kind of like when you walk in as a player and you see your jersey hanging there for the first time? You know what I mean? Like that same sort of feeling,
without a shadow of a doubt, and suddenly you are a professional coach. Mm-hmm. You are working full time with players that want to be professional players. Mm-hmm. So that professionalism that I sort of always strive for, wanted as a player, was working towards as a coach, suddenly you had it and you had the opportunity to grow. And I was fortunate that I was able to grow at the club quite quickly. And I think it's difficult to not look back at that 3.5 years as being like really formative for me. And I've been able to take a lot of the stuff that I learned there through the clubs that I've been at and add to and evolve. So. Yeah, I was fortunate, but I was also relatively well prepared in the sense that I'd been coaching for a long time prior to that.
Was there things that you learned along the way in all your different stops that you're like, yes, I'm going to take this, yes, I'm going to leave that? You know, like you learn things from positives and negatives or challenges. I don't necessarily want to call them negatives, but was there things that you can take from every single stop along the way that have really accumulated to where you are now?
I think you develop quickly a real sense of what is you and what fits you, what you feel strongly about, whether you can articulate that or not. And I think I've been lucky to, it's been one of the benefits of moving every 2 or 3 years, that suddenly you're in contact with people who see the game differently, different environments. Obviously you take things from the players that you work with and what they can do and can't do. So Swansea obviously had a really clearly defined playing style that I was able to latch on to. I went to Shrewsbury, which was my local club. It's an English club, but it was just over the border, the closest professional club to me, in a more, it's sort of more of a leadership capacity, where I was looking after the entire academy program with a view there to working at first team level at some point. So there I was able to take the stuff that I'd taken from Swansea and develop it in a setting that was less elite in terms of facilities, but really nice in terms of the raw ingredients players-wise you were working with. And then I had my first chance to work at first team level there. And then suddenly it's a very different setting with different pressures, but you're reliant on that skill set that you've built as a coach in the environments you've been in so far. But then suddenly it's in a more pressured setting with players that are maybe expecting a bit more from you.
So coming from Manchester United, and you've had other opportunities along the way before the Minnesota United job came to fruition, but what is that like, coaching at a club that everybody in the world has heard of, right? I mean, there's only a handful of those probably that you can say, I've never watched a soccer game in my life, but I know what Manchester United is. What was that like when you got there, and what kind of experience was it? And then how hard was it to leave? And not that that's a negative to come to Minnesota, but that's a difficult spot to
It's a half an hour answer to describe what it's like to be a coach at Man United. I don't think you, or anyone involved with the club, I don't think you can really appreciate the pressures and the intensity and the scrutiny and the enormity of the club unless you're sort of on the inside and you're feeling it day to day. So I was really lucky that I had the chance to go there. The staff, it was a really strong coaching staff at the time. So suddenly I had another chance to really learn from the people that I was working with. I obviously feel like I've crammed 7 or 8 years into 2.5 years there because I've seen a few different regimes. So I've taken a lot from that. I think as an assistant coach, there's probably no better schooling than being a couple of steps removed from the manager who is operating in what is an incredibly difficult environment to operate in, and you're able to sort of learn vicariously through their experiences. But you're playing an active role, you're contributing, you're coaching, you're having conversations about the team and selections, but you're not quite the man who's making the ultimate decision and having the difficult conversation. So I wanted that as my next step, but I was fortunate to be able to be removed enough from it at Man United that I could learn from the experiences that I had.
Was it weird watching the match on television last weekend?
Yeah,
I wasn't actually
able to because I was in mid-flight.
Okay.
But it was the first thing I looked at when we landed. It was weird. Mm-hmm. I would actually love the opportunity to go to Old Trafford and sit in a stand and sort of appreciate the enormity of the thing that I was involved with for 2.5 years, because it is huge and it is an incredible club to work at. And as you say, I don't think there are many beyond maybe Man United, Real Madrid and Barcelona that have that real global hold, and that real, the level of media interest is ridiculous, and I think it makes it a really difficult environment to work in. But in terms of like cutting your teeth, it's as good an environment as you're going to get, I think.
So Minnesota United, Major League Soccer, even bigger picture, soccer in the United States or in North America for that fact. What was it that intrigued you about this opportunity, this possibility, and that this was the right choice and the right place for you at this time in your career?
Yeah, so I'll start with the club. I think from the second I knew there was some interest, the first Google search, the first look at the podcast and the Instagram and the social media, you can't help but get a feel of a club that is incredibly well-run, stable, ambitious, has phenomenal infrastructure, really, I would say, progressive in their mentality. And then the second I started having conversations with Khaled and Sherry, two people, I don't know if you're getting many better combinations of sort of sporting director, chief executive. I think they're both brilliant. Sherry is I listened to the podcast pre-Khaled getting here, mm-hmm. where she was able to very eloquently sort of map out exactly the vision for the club and the structure. And then obviously Khaled fits into that perfectly. And I think me in combination with them will hopefully will work really well. And then the broader context of the MLS, which is obviously moving well in the right direction. Mm-hmm. It's really cliche to say that in the UK, but everything that I've seen, read, research says to me that it is moving well in the right direction. It's going to be a really exciting environment for me to work in. And then that sort of more global picture of the USA in general, the tournaments that are being held here in the coming years, the excitement around the sport in general. I think the combination of the club, the league, and that big picture is really exciting for me.
You don't have to wait for spring to start playing the beautiful game. Starting in February, Minnesota United has a full slate of academy and youth camps scheduled throughout 2024. Show off your skills, take your game to the next level, and enjoy some quality time on the field with MNUFC's licensed academy staff. Visit the camps and combines page on MNUFC.com for more information.
We talked a lot about what you've learned from a soccer perspective, right? Whether it's tactics and philosophies, but what about where you developed your culture, your values? Because that's something that's very highly spoken of, that was mentioned several times about you, that's clearly important to Sherry, it's important to Khaled.
Yeah.
So where did that come from, how you got that?
It's difficult. I wouldn't sit here and explicitly say this is my set of values. I just think I suppose, developed over the course of a number of different experiences, a way of being and a way of working. I think probably humility being at the heart of it is one, being able to connect with people well and sort of going out of your way to make sure that that happens. That's definitely another, and then just doing the job to the best of your ability. I think I've always taken that stance in my career that just do the work well and provide the value to the people that you've got in front of you. And I think that's sort of stood me in good stead so far. I think people often ask about the age. Is it difficult working with players that are your age or older? And I've never felt that. I've always felt if the people in front of you feel like you can add value to the team that they're in or them as individuals on their journey, then that's going to stand you in good stead. And I think that's always the position that I've come at it from. So hopefully that's what's come across in the interviews and the conversations I've had so far.
With Minnesota United, I know that Colette has talked several times about, you know, not being afraid to play younger players and not even looking at their age per se, more just like, do they deserve to be on the pitch, giving them an opportunity. You don't know unless you try, which I would assume is very similar to being a young coach. It's, you're not even thinking about the age. It's just, do I deserve to be there and in this position?
Yeah.
Would you say it's same kind of philosophy with how you view this team, this roster, and sort of building from the younger ages up?
Definitely. I think it's a really fine balance between, so if I look at the squad at the moment, you've got a really nice core of experienced players that I know I can lean on really well. I've already felt it in the first couple of days that I'm going to have a really good connection with those guys that are at that stage in their careers. But you do want as well, you want youth, you want energy, vibrancy, coachability, promise, potential. But you don't want to be too far toward one end of those that spectrum, because naturally there's going to be something missing at either end there. I think the squad now has a nice blend. I'm sure Khaled has strong views as to which end of the spectrum it's going to move toward. But me personally, with my background in youth development, I love working with young players. I love being able to play a real part on that early part of their journey, because I think obviously that's where there's most scope to really influence the level that they end up hitting. But also that's where players like Boxall and Will Trapp and Timu and Robin and those guys can play a real role there for those young players too. So I think it's just that, just making sure we sit at the right point on that line.
Do you feel like it's also a little bit just personality of, as far as some of those older veteran players that have been there, done that, you know, been there in a long time, but that you can still bring value and challenge them? Because there's a lot of coaches at MLS that I've gotten to talk to over the last year that just say, look, yes, Darlington Nagbe may be one of the best, but I challenge him every day to get better at this, this, and this, even though they may have done so many things already. Do you find that balance with some of those older guys, not just leaning on them, but they're willing to take in?
Yeah, I think that'll be a question for them in the coming weeks and months, but I do feel there is an openness. I've obviously got a certain set of experiences. Football is not played in one way. There's a lot of interesting approaches to setting teams up and developing individuals in, and not least in the Premier League. So I think one of the niceties about my role was it wasn't just the Man United thing. It was the fact I was working in the Premier League, in the Champions League, and the Europa League, and I was able to watch in detail and study and analyse all the top teams on, arguably in the world, when you could take into consideration those levels. So I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I can bring here and help those guys with. And judging on the first couple of days, I do feel like they'll be receptive. I'm sure we'll have good relationships, and I'll definitely push them to do stuff that they've not done previously.
As long as Wales beats Finland.
It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one.
I heard Robin talking about that yesterday with
I work with the Welsh team in, mm-hmm. in this campaign. I've worked with a lot of the players that I worked with mm-hmm. at Swansea when they were mm-hmm. 17, 18, 19 are now in that squad, mm-hmm. which is why I actually wanted to work with the team in the first place. I can't look past Wales winning, and my wife would definitely echo that, but mm-hmm. I'll certainly look at the game differently mm-hmm. with Robin and Timo being involved.
So you've watched a lot of Minnesota United. I know you just got here a short while ago, but you've had the opportunity to sort of dive in and dig in on this team, on this squad, not just personality-wise, but more just the way they play, the talents, their abilities. But you have a clear style that you would like to play, and I think Colette has a similar style that you guys are aligned on that. So how do you see that Continuing on, I know that fans seem to be incredibly excited with the way this team has looked in the first three matches thus far this season. How do you see that continuing to evolve, develop? What's your thought on the tactics?
Well, I want to make sure that we really capture the energy that the team's played with so far. So I think the fans would say it's been very aggressive, very front foot. They've pressed really well. They've really taken the game to the opposition. And that sits really well with the way in which I see the game being played. I want the team to move toward being a team that can dominate all phases of the game. We don't want to be solely reliant on how well we press and counter-attack. We do want to be able to dominate games with the ball as well. But I certainly think in the first few weeks and months, and we want to be a team that's going to be elite defensively. We want to be able to press well, but we also want to make sure that the team is compact and really well organized, which I think is something that we can take from the first couple of games and move forward. And then we will push the needle toward becoming a team that can use the ball really well and dominate the game with the ball. So that doesn't get done overnight, and it's easier, far easier said than done to be a team that can dominate all phases. But I think in the first instance, that will be our edge, that will be a high pressing team, will be really aggressive. We will take the game to the opposition, and we'll make sure that particularly here, the opposition really feel like it's a difficult place to come and play.
When you look at even, I was watching a drill that you did in the training session yesterday, and it was towards the latter end of training, and you had it where it was, a team was off to the side, and it was a small, tight space, and there was a central area that was like all about trying to work under pressure, but with composure.
Yeah.
And then, so is that relative to the high press style that in guys understanding like when they're under pressure or when they're pressing others? How do they stay composed and manage those moments on the ball?
I think that was a big message in the session yesterday, and it'll be a big message going forward that we want to be able to flick between those two mentalities as well. So we want, when we're pressing, to be very aggressive, very front foot, very energetic. We want to really run and stay together. But when we have the ball, we want to be composed. If we're not counter-attacking quickly, we really want to make sure that the team stays connected, that we get enough passes for the team to move up and stay together. We do want the opposition to really suffer when we get the ball. And the mentality that underpins those two different phases of the game is entirely different. So I think a lot of the training will be about that. So how is it that the players can flick between working in a very intense way to being very composed? And I think yesterday was a really good start in that sense. I think by the time we got toward the end of that exercise, it looked entirely different to how it did in the first couple of minutes, which is always a good measure.
When you look at this team in particular in the short amount of time that you've had with these guys, do you feel like you've had enough, you've been able to have some good conversations to get a feel for it, they get a feel for you? Because we've heard a lot about Cameron Knowles, and he did a tremendous job stepping into a kind of a difficult situation at time. And the guys have really bought into him. They appreciate him. They've run through a brick wall for him is what they've stated. So how do you feel like you've been able to manage that relationship? What was that like when you came in and had your first meeting with the guys, and how do you sort of approach that?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, it's really nice to be able to step into an environment that is well functioning and the players are invested and energetic. So I suppose my responsibility to make sure that continues first and foremost. So obviously I've got a framework that I would like to put in place and have started to put in place that obviously is shared with the other guys at the club. And then I suppose the first couple of days is a balancing act between thinking about the framework and how the sessions are going to be and how the style is going to be and the types of things that we're going to talk about, and then actually having conversations with the players. So I've tried to make sure that I've had a good conversation with most up until this point. It's not been possible to have a good conversation with everyone, but that will come. So it's that balancing act between the sort of real individual connection, but also making sure that the wider bit is as I want it to be.
How do you feel about, back to the coaching style, but not just on the field, but off the pitch, and you talk about having conversations, sort of the taking in information from others, whether it's adjustments in a game, whether it's adjustments with the way you play, what's sort of your policy and your look on that with the players and the other staff members to kind of get the best out of this group going forward?
Yeah, so I think that's a big part of my philosophy in general, that I think the group and the way in which the team plays needs to be based as a start point on the players' individual qualities. So I definitely don't want to be forcing any players to do things that they're not comfortable doing or their skill set doesn't allow them to do. So I think having that back and forth with individual players and the staff that are around the players is really important, in the sense that, yes, I have some really clear principles in terms of how I want the team to play, but the start point for game plans and team selection is the players' individual strengths. So I think it's making sure that we appreciate enough that we have a really strong set of principles that we are unwavering around, and then we're making the subtle adjustments that mean that the individuals are going to be placed in their best positions with players around them that they feel they can really connect with. So again, that's far easier said than done, and it's a real puzzle. It's really complex, but it takes conversation. It needs you to have good relationships with players. It needs you to have a good relationship with your staff, and it needs the staff to have a good relationship with the players. So I think the blend of staff that we have there will allow us to do that. I think we are, and I am, an open, collaborative, communicative person, which is a good start point in that sense.
You talk about the people that are around you and your staff, bringing in Dennis Lawrence, which was announced today. Yeah. What does that do for you? Because you also mentioned having never been a first-team head coach before. What does that do for you, and what can we expect? When to see him, when he'll be here, what do you think he'll contribute?
Yeah, so his visa is sorted, and he does his last game with Coventry, I think it's on the 16th of this month, and then he'll be out as soon as he can. So Dennis is a phenomenally experienced coach. He's been a coach for Roberto Martinez at Wigan and Everton when they were in the Premier League. He went and was manager of Trinidad and Tobago over a long period. And then now he's back working with Coventry in the Championship, who have done really well, really punched above their weight, missed out on promotion to the Premier League last year via the playoffs. So he's experienced success as a coach. He's been a first team coach. He's also been a manager. I was very conscious coming to this that I wanted someone with me who'd been a manager. I cannot possibly pretend to have had this level of responsibility before. I'm relying on the fact that I've done enough over 10 years as a coach and as an assistant to position myself with the raw ingredients to succeed in this role. But I wanted to have someone with me who's been there and done it in that sense. So Dennis is a coach educator. He's a coach. He's been a player. He's been a manager. So I think he can really push me from a lot of senses. And that's before you even get to the quality that he'll bring to the dressing room and the players. A big personality, good energy, a real developer. So the players and the staff will really benefit from him being here.
Was there ever a question that you were going to coach in this game on Saturday against LAFC, or like a timeline once you got in and hit the ground running? Or was it, because I know there's a break coming up, international break. I mean, was it?
Yeah, I think there was a conversation around that. My personal stance was always that we were fortunate that we had that time to acclimatise. We weren't jet lagged. We were able to fly in on Saturday whilst the team was in Orlando. So we then gave the team Sunday, Monday off, and they came in Tuesday afternoon. So we had time to get a feel for the area, me for the club. I felt then I had a four-day build-up to this game. I wanted to get stuck in quickly. As I mentioned at the beginning of this interview, the best way for me to do that is to work with the players and the staff. I didn't want to be on the sidelines for too long, so I could have probably had a more gentle start and then maybe used next week as a chance to get stuck in. But I'm really pleased that I've done it in this way, because I feel really supported. I feel like I've got already good relationships, and 2 days in, I feel like I'm 2 weeks in. So hopefully the next 2 days means that we can tighten it up a little bit, and we're in a good place for Saturday.
Do you think you're in a position right now to be more focused on what Minnesota United is doing, or how much are you even paying attention to what your opposition is doing at this moment?
So I think as a general rule, as a coach, I want to be a head coach who has most of his eye on how our team plays. I would say 80% us, 20% the opposition. I genuinely believe that if you can get a team to a point where it does what it does really well with real consistency at a real high level every week, it is almost irrelevant what the opposition do. So I think if we can get to a point where we've got that really strong base, and then we're just taking into consideration the subtleties of the way in which the opposition play, and we're not feeling like over the course of a season we need to be 50 different versions of Minnesota in order to be successful. I think we want to be us, and then we want to adjust only if we feel it absolutely necessary. So I think this week has been mostly about us, and maybe in the next couple of days we'll start talking a little bit about LA, but not to such an extent that it's going to transform the way in which we look.
What are you most excited about since you've gotten here and gotten your feet wet?
Yeah, I can't look past the home game here. Every conversation is steered toward the stadium, the atmosphere, the Wonderwall.
I'm assuming you saw the Columbus game, or you watched it back
or
something.
No,
like
I
the
watched
atmosphere.
We watched it, and I'm sure on game day it'll feel doubly as special, but even sat on my laptop at home, I could appreciate the quality of the atmosphere. And obviously prior to coming here, I've watched the YouTube videos of the Wonderwall and know how special it is when the team wins at home. So I can't not feel pressure to start producing that pretty quickly. Hopefully that comes on Saturday. If it doesn't, hopefully it's just around the corner. But yeah, it's unique. It's almost unique in world football, I would say, some of the cultural stuff you have here, or we have here. So yeah, Saturday is at the top of my list.
I'm going backwards a little bit here. This is sort of the way my brain works. But I want to go back when you're talking about the excitement, you know, and being at Allianz Field and the fan base here in this community. But what was even just going back to the plane ride over with your wife? I mean, what were those feelings like, those emotions, knowing that you're officially making the move, making the jump, the conversations, the interviews that happened, the life decision to move the family? What was that like? And then has some of that, you know?
No, it is surreal because you talk about it for so long and it's dangling there in the background and it may or may not happen.
Well,
and
you're then, still trying to do your other job.
Well, I'm still finishing there. Yeah. Obviously, that in itself is an intense enough situation, plus our family circumstances. So we're sat at home talking about it enough, but not talking about it so much just in case, for whatever reason, it doesn't end up happening. And then suddenly you find yourself on the plane, and then suddenly you're sat in America and it's happening. And you're doing everything that we've done. We feel like we've fit 15 days into five, and then suddenly it's very real. So it is definitely surreal in that sense, and we have had a couple of moments where we're like, oh, okay, it's happening and we're here. But we've felt nothing really but excitement, I don't think. I think the more conversations you have, the more you see, the more humbled you feel to be at the front of a club like this. And I think the more conversations that we've had, we've only felt excitement to bring the family here, and there's been no sense of questioning our decision in any way.
And lastly, just sort of, you know, getting to know this community here, this soccer community. You probably had conversations, I'm sure, a little bit with even Manny Lagos, who's you know, been here and around forever, and there's certain aspects of the soccer community in Minnesota that don't just exist since Minnesota United came into MLS in 2017. The league in general is so much younger than anything that you're used to in Europe, but What would you say to the fan base here, to the people that are coming to the game on Saturday, and several people that even just, you know, came up to me since the press conference this afternoon, just so excited about what the future looks like for this club as it continues? Because the fan base has never waned. You know, good days, bad days, whatever, you know, constructive criticism probably from some throughout the years. But what would you say to the fan base, especially heading into Saturday's game, but into your tenure as head coach?
Yeah, I'm going to use the word that every fan hates to hear, which is patience, because I do think what we're trying to do is bigger than the coming weeks and months, I would say. But I would also say in the same vein, no one is involved in football to not talk about winning and being competitive and progressing and getting to the latter stages of competitions, and I'm no different. I'm not here thinking long-term project, patience over months and years, and then we'll evaluate in 2 years' time. That's not how I'm thinking. I want there to be an element of visible success pretty quickly. But I suppose there is that caveat that we are trying to do something that will lay the foundation for a long period of success when it comes to style and integration of the club as a whole, and maybe shifting toward a slightly younger squad. But I hope that in saying that, I don't dampen any excitement that exists, because I do think there's an exciting group of people around an exciting group of players. So I think all the ingredients are there for a really nice period for everyone attached to the club. So no pressure on my part and Khaled's part and all the staff attached to it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time. No, I don't think you're going to dampen any Minnesotan spirit.
No, I think it's possible.
I mean, if you would have been through the winter we had last year and everybody's still here and alive and kicking, you know, it's tough to dampen Minnesotans.
No, we're sort
spirit.
Of learning that they go the opposite way and they're going to get out and prove that the weather is not getting in anyone's way.
Yep.
So I think if that mentality applies to how they view things here, then perfect.
Well, thank you for taking the time. I know you have an incredibly busy schedule and you've had a full day of media availability as you're trying to also plan your life and your family, and of course plan for a game on Saturday. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody for joining us for another episode of Sound of the Loons. We'll see you again next week, hopefully after another 3 points from Minnesota United on Saturday.